A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. It was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. Instead, someone has testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, subjecting all things under his feet. In subjecting all things to him, he left nothing not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see all things subject to him, but we do see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death. He who for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.'" The word of the Lord. You have given your Son rule over the works of your hands. You have given your Son rule over the works of your hands. O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name over all the earth. What is man that you should be mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you should care for him? You have given your Son rule over the works of your hands. You have made him little less than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet. You have given your Son rule over the works of your hands. All sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims the paths of the seas. You have given your Son rule over the works of your hands. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet! Come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. This first reading from the letter to the Hebrews is actually quite profound, what is being shared with us. It's basically saying that God sent his Son to become one of us, as we just celebrated in the Christmas season, and he's taken into himself, everything that is human, including our negative emotions. So, for example, we weren't created for sadness. We were created for joy. But because of sin, sadness has now been part of what we experience, who we are. We weren't created for despair and anxiety. But that's part of our experience now because of sin. We are afraid of things. Don't know what's coming. Anxiety. Jesus entered into all those things without sinning. And so he experiences all of these negative emotions. But instead of how they cripple us, and they can, sometimes to the point of not even being able to function. They don't cripple him. He reverses and he brings virtue and grace into those things and changes them so that they can actually build up human character instead of tearing down. Another negative emotion would be anger. We have a susceptibility to fall into rage. What did Jesus do? There are many examples of him being angry in the Gospels, but he never flies into a rage. His anger is always under the beatitude of meekness. You know, meekness doesn't mean weak. It means being able to manage your anger and use it properly. He used it properly, for example, to cleanse the temple of all these vipers. But he didn't go and fly off the handle and start maiming people. So Jesus entered in with all of his grace and all his divinity into our humanity, and he took on all those negative emotions and he began to transform them. And so now we can take upon us all of his virtues, all of his graces, all that he shares with humanity through sacraments, through stirring up the spirit within us through prayer. That's why the life of devotion, the life of sacrament, the life of prayer is so important, so that we can bring the beauty of Jesus into our negative emotions. And so they don't dominate us. We turn them into virtues. It takes a lifetime for us. He could do it in an instant. But for us, it's a journey and a pilgrimage. But that's essentially what's happening. We're not going to be... negative emotions are basically about death, taking you into death. But with the Spirit of Christ, His Holy Spirit, we are moving towards life. And that's essentially what is being talked about in the letter to the Hebrews. And the example is given in the Gospels. Jesus commands this unclean spirit to come out of the man. Notice the unclean spirit has no choice but to obey, because it has no freedom. It has surrendered its freedom by rejecting God. Jesus does not do the same to us. I command you to be sad no longer. Because we have the freedom still of choosing the graces and the gifts that he gives to us, to embracing them and freely using them. And so we give thanks to God that he has continued to respect our freedom. He enables our freedom. He gives us his spirit that we can transform these emotions that we have in our lives and actually turn them into virtues, good, uplifting behaviors. We may still feel those things, but they don't have to dominate us. They can actually lead us to good. And it begins now by saying amen with great gratitude to this blessed sacrament.